Good morning, everyone. So last week, I was 2 minutes late. Some people say 6 minutes late. I say 2 minutes late. And everyone was quiet and waiting for me to come in. I'm not, thank you for thinking that I'm worth waiting for. But today, I'm here and everybody's just chatting away. So anyways, we had fun last week. Welcome, friends, to the worship of God at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here. If you happen to be visiting with us, we're glad that you took the time and maybe meeting up with friends here at church to spend this hour with us. I haven't used our non-traditional welcome in a while, and since today's Transfiguration Sunday, I thought we'd begin with this, because I think it says a lot about us. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, or just not sure, filthy rich, dirt poor, no habla inglés, and a special welcome to those who are crying newborns. I know they're here. Skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds like the pastor. We don't care if you're more churchy than the Pope or haven't been in church since little Joey's baptism. We welcome you if you are over 60 but not grown up yet, or a teenager who is growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms and NASCAR dads and starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps, or if you don't like organized religion, because we've been there too. If you blew all your offering money at the track, you're welcome here. We offer special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, but you're wrong. Work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma is in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are inked or pierced or both. We welcome those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throat as a kid, and got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists and seekers and doubters and bleeding hearts and you. And we welcome you because if you're good enough for God, and you are, then you are good enough for us. I'll invite you to sign the Black Friendship pew pads, which you'll find towards the center aisle of each pew. And my friends, the Lord be with you. So let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for welcoming us in this place, this sanctuary, this safe place where we can encounter you, your word, as we sing together, as we listen to your word from scripture and preached, as we pray together, as we share some silence together. Let our hearts be filled with your Holy Spirit. Let us find a way to your joy, your hope, your peace, your love, and your grace. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friends, my sisters and brothers, will you please stand in body or spirit and join me as we call ourselves to worship. Come, friends, let us be united in God's amazing grace.
We come to be woven together in joy.
Come, friends, let us be embraced by love.
We come to be knitted together in peace.
Come, friends, let us be bound by kindness.
We come to be made new in forgiveness.
Come, friends, let us be set free for loving service.
We come to be filled with gladness and uplifted by praise.
Please be seated, friends, and I'll invite our children to come forward at this time. Children, please be a little careful because we have our bell tables set up this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Guess who's here today?
Annabelle.
Annabelle is here. How did you know?
Because she's my school friend, Julia.
Hello.
Hello. Well, you know, there's another Annabelle here. Pastor Taylor is here somewhere in the congregation. Pastor Taylor, where are you? Oh, there you are. In the front row, and there's Annabelle right there. That's the other Annabelle right here. Yeah, come on up. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about Pastor Taylor and Annabelle.
I want to answer some questions.
Okay. Pastor Taylor, was it easy having Annabelle?
No.
Did you do it on your own?
No.
Did you have some help to do that?
Yes.
There were people that helped you and Annabelle come into the world?
Yes, a lot of people. A lot of nurses and doctors and anesthesiologists and everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of... Today I wanted to talk about cooperation. And it was wonderful that Pastor Taylor is here with Annabelle. And it's also... Do you see these tables? I want you to stay today and not go down to Sunday school right away. So, Sunday school teachers... I want you to stay here, and I want you to listen to the bells. But more than just listen to the bells, I want you to watch them. Because just like Pastor Taylor and Annabelle needed other people in order for Annabelle to be born, I want you to look at the fact that each bell is one bell, right? And it's one note. Now, it's a beautiful note, right? But what if that's the only note there ever was? It would start getting boring, wouldn't it? It would be like, happy birthday would be, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear you, happy birthday to you. And then every song would be like that, right? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Right, so it would get pretty boring. But more than that, so the bells... They need each other in order to make music. And Pastor Taylor and Annabelle needed doctors and nurses and Doug and other people to love them and care for them so that they could be born. So I want you to think today about all the people in your life that you need in order for you to be you. And then I want you to think about how you might say thank you to those people who are part of your life, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your teachers, your pastors. Little plug there for me. Okay, you think we could do that? Let's say a little prayer together. Echo prayer. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you for all the people, who are part of my life. That remind me that you are love.
Help me
to be a blessing to them. Amen. Okay, so go back into the pews so we can watch, or with your parents so we can watch the bells and listen to them, okay? And then after the bells play, we're going to go down to Sunday school. Okay, let me get out of the way. Can you do this? Thank you, Bell Choir. And children, you're invited to go to Sunday school now to faith formation.
Well, wasn't that fun? And now, trusting in God's steadfast love for us, let us confess our sins together. O Lord, we've heard your grace-filled story, and we confess our sin of indifference.
God, jolt our lives to turn and look at you once more.
Give us the ears to hear your amazing story, that God would become one of us, living among us, teaching us, sitting down at table with us, breaking bread and drinking wine with us, and then dying among us for us. Amazing grace.
O Lord, we ask for your presence this day. Brush against us when we least expect it. Touch us with your spirit. Take us by the shoulders and shake us awake to your incredible truth.
We are your people, and you are our God. Forgive our faithlessness, O faithful God, and see beyond our apathy, our thoughtlessness, our self-centeredness, our wrong choices. See into our hearts, for you are our treasure. We pledge once more to give those who need us, to give to those who need us, that this world might be more human. We pledge to do away with difference. We pledge to live your story in new life-changing ways, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The good news of our faith is this. If we call upon God, we will be answered and forgiven. That promise gives us peace and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
People of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness?
As God's own people, we will be of ready compassion, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us. And above everything else, we will be loving and never forget to be thankful
for what Christ has done for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, our light, make us attentive to your word as to a lamp shining in a dark place, that seeing your truth, we may live faithful lives until that great day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Amen. The Old Testament reading is a reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. I invite you to listen for the word of God. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
So we turn now to our gospel reading, the reading passage in Matthew of the Transfiguration. I invite you to continue to listen for the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Mountains in the clouds. Dazzling white light, appearances from the beyond, divine voices, befuddled human beings, and a deafeningly silenced man of God. Wow. There's enough symbolism here to write a sequel to all the Star Wars saga. Except, of course, for the fact that the movies were a work of fiction written with the intent to entertain and make money. And this gospel narrative from Matthew was written by the divinely inspired imagination of one not writing to make a buck, but rather writing to save the world. The Transfiguration of Jesus. Pretty powerful stuff. The biblical scholars agree that this passage is suffused with spiritual and religious elements. The high mountain is where the likes of Moses and Elijah originally encountered God, and as we talked about a few weeks ago when we looked at the Beatitudes together, the understanding was that the higher you go, the closer you must be to God. And we all know that an encounter with God usually leads to some kind of revelation or divine message. In the Old Testament narrative, a cloud was where the divine presence remained with God's people and by day led them through the wilderness. And it was while up the high mountain and in the midst of the cloud that covered it that Moses encounters God. It's where the Ten Commandments are communicated. Moses' face shines after his face-to-face meeting with God. Pretty impressive. But Jesus' whole body shines after his encounter with God. And if you were a Palestinian Jew and read Matthew's account or heard it read, which was probably more like it, and didn't get the symbolism and the connection and the message that this Jesus is unlike any other prophet or healer or rabbi, including the monumental figures of Moses and Elijah, then you must have been a rock. According to Matthew, the disciples look on, these three friends from Jesus' inner circle, and they are mesmerized, but by what they see and experience. They see their master, their rabbi, their teacher, their friend, transfigured before them. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines transfiguration as transform, metamorphose, transmute, convert, transmogrify, transfigure. It means to change a thing into a different thing. It implies a major change in form, or nature, or function. These three friends see Jesus transfigured before their eyes and then hear a voice, the voice of God, stating clearly what they were slowly coming to understand and believe for themselves, namely that Jesus is the Son of God. And then, so that there would be no mistake as to what they were to do as his disciples, the voice from the cloud commands, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Transfiguration on this scale and grandeur and significance described in the gospel is reserved for the Savior of the world. But his disciples are also somehow transformed by the experience. And we, as Jesus' disciples, we too are called to be perhaps not transfigured, but certainly reformed. Reformed, that is, by Jesus' teaching, and reformed by his love and grace for us. To me, that means that we are called to find ways, as the choir taught us a few weeks ago, to let Jesus' light shine in the world. Ways to let his light shine through us into the world. The older I get, the more I realize how complex we have made our world. So many different things are now dependent or interdependent on one another. We as human beings are all dependent on one another. A little lesson I tried to teach the children today. A failing market here causes markets to fall in Europe or Japan and China. Job layoffs in Germany and France cause people in the U.S. to lose their jobs. A hurricane there causes a drought somewhere else. Careless consumption here causes famine there. Apathy in a nation state gives rise to tyrants. Lack of love allows for racism and sexism and fascism. People much smarter than me have been outsmarted themselves by all that takes place in our world. It is enough to make one stop and want to hide and do only what is safe. But following Jesus, as Peter and James and John found out on that mountaintop of old, is not safe. It was never meant to be. The disciples faced many challenges as they let Jesus' light shine through them. And that is our challenge as well, to face the challenges ahead and let Jesus' light shine. And friends, there are many challenges ahead for those who believe in a Savior that has come to bring sight to the blind and to make the world whole. Justice, truth, love, hope, peace, and joy are the fruit of the kingdom Jesus has in mind, and they won't be achieved with cheap grace. Love is costly. Okay, that was a history and a theology sermon. Now for the pastoral sermon. I've read this transfiguration passage in the Gospels many, many times and preached on the transfiguration many, many times. It comes with all the gray hair. But I somehow missed something over the years. And it was right in front of me, but I glossed over it. Now maybe, unlike me, you caught it. Listen again to the passage. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." In this passage, I was dazzled by the light, and I missed perhaps the most significant part of the whole thing. That part which is most like Jesus. It's not the mountain. It's not the Old Testament figures of Moses and Elijah, as large as they are. It's not the bright light or the cloud or even the voice. It's not Jesus' face shining like the sun or his clothes turning dazzling white. It's what he does after all of that is over. It's what he has always done. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, are terrified. They are overcome with fear. And Jesus puts away all the dazzling stuff aside and goes to them in their fear and touches them. "Get up, Peter. Get up, James. Get up, John. Don't be afraid. It's still me. I'm still here. Don't be afraid. I'm right here with you." And when they looked up, Matthew writes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone, because they didn't need to see anyone else. He was all they needed to see. He was all they needed to see to have their fears addressed and put to rest. What a powerful reminder for us of the presence of the risen Christ in our lives. Just think about the many times and the many ways Jesus touches people in the Gospels. Healing the lame, the blind, the sick, the dying, the dead. He touches the sea to calm it. He touches bread to multiply it to feed thousands. There are even accounts where he doesn't touch anyone. They touch him instead, and by doing so, are healed. He touches and people speak, and people see, and people walk. People are healed and are made whole. And in this particular encounter, they stop being afraid. "Don't be afraid. I am with you always." That is powerful. Maybe more powerful and meaningful than all the amazing things that happened before. The cloud, the voice, the presence of Moses and Elijah. Jesus touches us. The power is in his touch. That personal contact. "I am here. I am with you always. Don't be afraid." Let me bring the personal home to you. So play with me for a minute. We only have a minute. And let's try a little exercise together. This is not about feeding my ego. Try to think of the 10 best sermons you've ever heard. Okay, I'm guessing that it would take you a while to come up with 10. Now, think of 10 people who touched you in a significant way when you needed help the most. Think of 10 people who are important to you in your life and without whom your life would be very different now. I'm guessing you can come up with an answer in at least half the time. It is so very human, the need to be touched. Cindy touched on that in her sermon last week. It's so divine to be touched by the love of God. Frederick Buechner writes, you know I'm going to have to throw a quote in there. "I hear your words, I see your face, I smell the rain in your hair, the coffee on your breath. I am inside me experiencing you as you are inside you experiencing me. But the you and the I themselves, those two insiders, don't entirely meet until something else happens. We shake hands, perhaps we pat each other on the back. At parting or greeting, we may even go so far as to give each other a hug. And now it has happened. We discover each other to be three-dimensional, solid creatures of reality as well as dimensionless, airy creators of it. We have an outside of flesh and bone as well as an inside where we live and move and have our being. Through simply touching, more directly than in any other way, we can transmit to each other something of the power of the life we have inside us. It is no wonder that the laying on of hands has always been a traditional part of healing, or that when Jesus was around, all the crowd sought to touch him. It is no wonder that just the touch of another human being at a dark time can be enough to save the day. You and I, my friends, have been touched by grace through the love of God in Jesus Christ. Just as he did for Peter and James and John and for countless others, he has touched us with his love. And now it's our turn. We touch the people we love, our family and our friends, but we also touch people we don't know. We do that when we let the light of Jesus shine through us. When we let Jesus in and allow him to transfigure us through grace and love. So here's something I want you to do. I had these little cards printed recently. And I'm going to, in a moment when we sing our hymn, the ushers will, and by the way, just stay seated for the hymn. And then the ushers can pass out these little cards. And they simply say, "Thank you for you. You are a blessing." So this week or next week or this month, when you run into someone, maybe even a perfect stranger who somehow has blessed you in a way, I want you to either give them the card or leave it behind on the restaurant table. But it's best, I think, if you actually give it and touch them. And touch them in this small way. And let's see if maybe we can make our lights shine a little brighter for the sake of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So remain seated. We'll sing together. And if the ushers, you can have more than one, I guess, pass them out in the pews. Friends, can I just quickly bring to your attention any number of things that are taking place in the life of your church? And please, folks, if you get an email from me asking you for money, it's not me. Apparently, you know, the hackers are... Anyways, I'm not going to ask you for money, ever. So just delete those emails. So I think I asked Kate to make it very apparent. I think she's made it pretty apparent. Just a couple of things. If you're interested in finding out about what it means to be a member of this congregation, I'll meet with you all at 11:30 in the reception room, and we'll talk a little bit about that. If you've been a Presbyterian for 100 years and you still have questions and you want me to try to answer those, come at 11:30 as well. Faith exploration will start next week as we start journeying through Lent. A reminder that the Scouts are going to feed us pancakes and sausages on Tuesday for Shrove Tuesday. Lots of other things. But the other thing is we're going to gather together as a family around the piano and have a coffee house. So if you've got, I know your ukulele players and harmonica players, and you're just waiting for a safe place to share your talent, this is the time. Get a hold of Lee, let her know what you'd like to do, and she's willing to accompany you if that's something that you'd like to do. And lastly, for those of you who like to play on your phone, join our Lenten Journey Facebook group, and if you like to play, join the Instagram groups as we journey together through Lent. And lastly, as hard as it is for me to say this, this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So we'll have a service here with the imposition of ashes, and we'll gather together at the Lord's table. So Oh, absolutely. I've left half the stuff out. So read through the bulletin with all the other things. These are just the things I wanted to highlight, Gail. It's next Saturday. So it's coming up. Thank you. Chili dinner. Chili cook-off. Okay. Thank you, Gail. We have a few minutes and have not been able to solicit prayers in the few Sundays, so let's do that if we could quickly. You'll notice we've added a few names to the cares and concerns, and one that didn't make it before the printing of the bulletin is Dan Glenn. Dan has pneumonia and has been admitted to the hospital. Please keep Dan and Peggy in your prayers, if you would. Are there concerns that you'd like to share with the congregation? There are no Phillies or Eagles games that we have to rush out to. Okay, that's all right. You're going to keep them to yourselves. I'm okay with that. Oh.
I have a joy that Taylor is here and Annabelle is home.
We've been blessed in this congregation with a lot of little babies, and I'm glad you all are doing your part to keep Presbyterians alive. Any other prayers? Yep.
Just safe prayers and travels for my dad. He's in Guatemala for a whole week now, so hopefully he'll come home healthy and...
And yeah, George is on a board of directors for a school, I think, in Guatemala, right? And he's there for their annual meeting. Any others? Yep.
Another joy. Sally and I experienced the birth of our first granddaughter Friday a week ago. Hazel Kaminsky.
Yeah, and I saw Yoki working in the garden Thursday or Friday, and she and Jack are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, so you can keep that in mind. Any others? So let us pray. Sovereign God, you revealed your love and guidance for us on Mount Sinai and the Mount of Transfiguration, giving us a vision for the future building of your kingdom, a future of how to live in equity and peace and justice, trusting in your care for us, inviting us not to be afraid. And so it is with courage, O Lord, that we come to you and offer our prayers, both spoken and silent. We pray for your church, the church universal, and this particular church, that it may be the light of love for all people. We pray for the nations of the world, that their governors and governments may be wise, and perhaps even more so, be compassionate. We pray for those who suffer illness or oppression, that our care for them, our care for them, may bring your healing and liberation. We pray for your creation, that we may be your wise and obedient stewards of the creation. And we pray for all those who search for you, that they may walk by the lamp of your Spirit and be at peace in your light now and forever. And Lord, we dare to pray for those whom we name in our bulletin this morning, for Dan and Harry and Bill, for Ver and Irv and Sharon, for the Demos family, for the Daimler family, for Holly, for Carol, for Debbie, for Lloyd's friend, for George. We pray for Walt and for all the new babies in the world, for Annabelle, who's here with us, and all the moms and all the dads and the grandparents and all those in our extended families and friends who care for them and for us. We pray for the men and women and veterans of our armed forces who are scattered throughout the world and often in the face of danger. And we pray for those who are your light in a lot of different places, for Jenny and Charles and Melissa and John. Gracious God, hear our prayers and hear the names of those whom we keep in our hearts, with whom we walk the journey of faith, and hear our prayers as we sit in this brief moment of silence. God of majesty and might, you have blessed us with revelations of your glory. Give us the gift of faith, that we may hear your voice for ourselves and see Jesus Christ revealed to us, that we may stand without fear on our own. We pray all this in Christ, who taught his disciples to say when they pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
So my friends, don't be afraid, for Jesus walks with us always. Go out and let your light shine for his sake. Do that with confidence, do it with grace, and do it with love. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's leave this place by letting our light shine as we share the peace of Jesus Christ with one another.